This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, let's go around the NFL here in the loop. Appreciate you hanging out with us. You got John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Adetula on a Reaction Monday. And around the NFL is brought to you by Quick Assist, your no-hassle solution to reselling your tickets across every marketplace. Download Quick Assist from your app store today. That's Quick Assist. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. All right, we begin by a battle of Ohio. You had Bengals, you had Browns, and you had drama.
Did you ever?
Bengals end up getting a victory there, 21-14. Neither of these teams above 500 still.
Yeah, I was about to say, this is the toilet bowl.
It really was. Bengals are 3-4. It's wild to think about that because, like, the Bengals, again, had seemingly brought themselves out of the basement of the NFL, the laughingstock as they seem to be in some way. And they're having a little bit of a rough time of it, but obviously the rougher time being had was the Cleveland Browns. They are now 1-6 after this loss, and they lose their franchise quarterback, which people did not seem to hate too much. There were boos that rained down, and I'm sure you know this if you do not live under a rock and consume anything that could has to do with the NFL. Deshaun Watson is injured non-contact, and if you see it close enough,
yeah, you know.
You know the ripple that happens on the back of the leg.
By the way, it's officially official.
Yes. He has the Achilles tear, and so he will be gone for a good amount of time. And that guaranteed contract continues to look even worse as he will now miss even more games. He already missed 11 to start, remember, the suspension? Played 19 games, has not looked particularly good, and then boom, he's back to missing a whole bunch of games. But during the course of this, fans go and boo at that home stadium. In a home game, they boo the starting quarterback being injured and very obviously injured as well.
Did they boo or did they cheer?
Did they cheer?
They did both, I guess.
There's a little bit of both.
I know he got booed in the intros.
Yeah.
He got booed as they introduced the quarterback. And I think it was some people actually cheering.
Oh, when he got hurt, when he was down on the field. Yeah. Yes. But here's the thing. I know we're going to hear from Myles Garrett and Jameis Winston. And maybe we should do that first. Because I think there's a very obvious sort of answer to what was going on the field. It wasn't necessarily about what he did off the field.
Well, all right, this is Myles Garrett and his takes on whatever the crowd reaction was to Deshaun Watson's injury.
No one deserves that. Yeah. I've seen him work his ass off to, get back here, in here, and put a smile on his face and, try to put everything that's outside the facility behind him. Death threats, people come to his house, going after his family. Like I said, no one deserves that. And I hate using the word deserves. I'm usually, pretty consistent saying earned. He hadn't earned it and he doesn't deserve it. No, man does pretty much everything right. He's been a model citizen through college and most of the pros. He plays the game as hard as anyone I've seen.
Puts
everything on the line. Willing to throw his body out there, and he plays the game at 100 miles per hour. And there's a risk in being injured, and that he took that risk. But we have to be there for him as a team, as an organization. We can't look down on a guy because of any mistakes on the field or anything off the field. No, we don't have anything. We don't have any more high ground.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's plenty.
Most of his pro career.
Yeah, that's I understand where you're coming from, Miles.
Yeah.
I do. I understand what you're trying to get at, right? Like, this is not a good look on the, you know, human fraternity.
Yeah.
Right? Like, to then be happy if someone's downfall, and yet still it feels like you ain't been here before. and I think Miles probably got to, I think the most effective way of talking about this is that nobody really should have that. Jameis decided to come in with some hand ring, baby. Like, that is some. I know that he was in church because the way that he was guilt tripping folks was kind of crazy. This is Jameis Winston about it.
I am very upset with the reaction to a man that has had the world against him for the past 4 years, and he put his body and life on the line for this city. Every single day, regardless of your perception, regardless of what you thought should happen with him, he committed every single day that I've been here to be the best that he can be for this team. For myself, every morning, what I want for myself, I want for everyone. And I do not want the treatment that Deshaun Watson has received from these passionate fans. I know you love this game. When I first got here, I knew these were some amazing fans. But Deshaun was treated badly. And now he has to overcome another obstacle.
Thank you for...
Can I hear an amen? Music.
Yeah. All right, so again, trying not to make light of, again, a pretty terrible injury. But dude, man, like... Y'all really want to get out here and do this? Like, put his life... Like, it feels a little heavy-handed, doesn't it? Put his life on the line. I understand, right? I'm one of the people that will talk about the fact that these players are trading on their body, right? And that is not something to be taken lightly. I think you get your point across without being so damn heavy-handed.
Well, I think it's looking the wrong direction. I really do. Look, first of all, let's talk about what was not part of most of his pro football career. It was a long time and a big controversy, so that's neither here nor there, I guess. I get Miles Garrett's point there. But my thing, Figgy, is I don't think any of those cheers had anything to do with anything off the field.
Nope. Not in that stadium. I don't think. Well, I'm sure there's some.
No one was cheering. That's what you get for what you did with those women.
See, you got some people on social media, and that's a whole different world.
Yes.
That's doing that. But as far as people there in the stadium,
it's because he stunk.
Yep.
That's why.
And honestly, even the players talking about this now, nobody gave a damn about what he did off the field. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Well, I do wonder if you did, if there was any way for you to be able to express that, because, hey, man, you got to show up to work. And we've all been to work. We know how it goes, right? Like, even if you don't like someone at work, you got to find a way to make it work, you know? But, yeah, I think you're right in that regard, right?
It wasn't about anything off the field.
We've seen plenty of Browns fans, when he was first signed, cheer. We saw them get out here with some crazy signs and such. Like, they were good with it. What they were really booing was the idea of, hey, you took all this money and you have not gotten anywhere close to matching the expectation that comes with that. And that feels a little nasty. However, like, again, all things considered, what am I supposed to say?
Well, I get it.
And even if, let's say he didn't have all these off the field problems, if he was playing the same way with that same contract, they would have did the same thing.
Exactly. Man. And by the way, still insensitive.
Yeah.
Still, you know, a poor taste. You know, I'm not saying it's not. It is. But it had nothing, like, for Miles Garrett and Jameis Winston to sort of make this about what happened off the field. He didn't deserve this. No, you're right. But it wasn't about that. It was about, like, he was really, really bad. And they're football fans. Let's just be honest. They're in the moment. You get kind of dumb. You get caught up in the moment. Ask Georgia. Yeah. You know about
Tennessee?
That.
Oh, sorry, Texas, rather.
Yeah, you know, you get and you do dumb things. It was dumb, yes, but it had nothing to do with anything off the field.
Anyways, he's gonna miss a whole bunch of time. Like, I think they're gonna try and see if they can recover some money. I know that they took an insurance policy out.
They got 15 point something,
so
I think. Yeah.
I think they might be able to get a little bit of relief, but that's still gonna be a real nasty situation. At least I think oddly enough, would you view this as a positive or a negative in the course of this? And it's real nasty to then get to these places, mm-hmm. but that's what football does for you, man. like, in some ways now, again, more money that you're not going to be able to get to, but now Kevin Stefanski has an opportunity to find a way to pivot away to a different quarterback. And I think as an organization, you might be able to really and truly sell ownership on, well, he is going to be gone for like a year and a half.
It's in the next season.
Yeah. Right? Now we can maybe move towards trying to get something as a more permanent solution.
Yes.
As opposed to just trying to fill the gap with like Jameis Winston or DTR.
I think the good and bad thing about this is, I think the season over for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can definitely look into maybe drafting the quarterback and look, because Deshaun, like, I feel like he's injury prone at this point. This is the second injury that kept him out for the rest of the year.
If you really want to be crass and insensitive, in a weird way, this was good for the organization, because now you absolutely are drafting a quarterback.
Yeah.
100%.
If they were smart, they would. Yeah. Yeah.
Some other things around the NFL, as we talked way too much about the Browns.
hey, it's Deshaun.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. The Eagles handle business in Saquon Barkley's return to MetLife Stadium. Daniel Jones was flat out benched in this game. And he, mind you, he has not thrown a touchdown at home since New Year's Day 2023. So,
That's crazy.
Speaking of quarterbacks, the teams are probably getting ready to move on from.
Yeah.
But Saquon had himself a day, right? If nobody else had themselves a day, he did. 17 carries, 176 yards.
That's pretty good.
And a touchdown in his return. And apparently he also added a little bit on top in the postgame and poked the bear.
That was crazy. I mean, I've seen my jersey get burned before over on social media, but the timing of it, like, I'm locked in, I'm listening to my music, and I see, like, the fans, and all I see is fans just pointing, and I look, I'm like, where are they pointing at? And I see smoke, and I'm just like, my jersey getting burned. So, that was definitely different. I don't know if I ever experienced anything like that in my life, and, you know, hopefully I don't experience that again, but in that moment, I was ready for 3rd and 1. Let's just say that.
I was ready for 3rd and 1. He was not going to be denied. And I'm a big dummy. I thought, you know, no way, you know, that, like, the Giants, no way are going to let Saquon go off. Well, they're just bad. And he went off. And, you know, it was just, boy, you can't look dumber than the New York Giants do right now.
Some other injury news. DK Metcalf was carted off in their game, the Seattle Seahawks game, with an injury. And so Seahawks got a win versus the Falcons, but it might have been Pyrrhic in losing their best wide receiver in that way. And then also, hey man, Tua Tagovailoa gives us a little bit of an update on his situation, that he is targeting week 8 versus the Cardinals to possibly return from IR after, you know, the multitude of concussions that he has dealt with.
I saw this and I just kind of got sick to my stomach a little bit. I get it. It's his life. It's his call. He wants to play, but I just hate this. I'm going to literally be waiting for the next one.
I mean, that's where we were before as well, right? I think football, the tough part about it is, man, all these dudes are a short distance away from something major happening. But when it's happened that like that, and especially knowing what we know about concussions and how having one makes the next one more likely, it really is kind of scary. And, yeah, you got to remember that the Dolphins are on the schedule December 15th. Yeah. So it does seem like if Tua gets his way, he will be in that, you know, available or possibly available for the Texans, because then again you get to the place where you go, hey, what happens if he has another concussion?
I'm waiting for it. I mean, that's how sad and dangerous and scary it is with Tua. I'm waiting for, at one point he's going to fall and he's going to be out again. It's awful.
Yeah, that's what we're kind of waiting on in some ways, sadly enough, with Tua Tagovailoa. We got another Monday Night Football doubleheader tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Which of these games are you going to be more interested in? Ravens, Buccaneers, or Chargers, Cardinals?
Oh, I don't know.
I hate these AFC versus NFC type stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's like, man, like, give me something to watch. these don't really matter like that.
Okay,
unless so it's like a Super Bowl preview or something.
Fig, were you against Are you against interplay in baseball?
Interleague play.
Yeah. It's just like it don't matter, man.
I don't want to see these teams. Give me division games.
Give me something that localizes it. What matters to me?
That's a good question. I hadn't thought about it in those terms. Chargers, Cardinals, or Ravens, Bucks. I kind of like.
Are you going to really? I thought this would be a toss up.
No. I think the Cardinals are fun to watch. Chargers, you know, with Jim Harbaugh, but Derrick Henry, man,
you probably keep an eye on the Ravens.
Yeah,
just kind of see how they look.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's another one that you're going to run up against during the course of the season. Christmas, mm-hmm. You're going to see the Ravens, and so yeah,
I just want to see Derrick Henry run some more.
Yeah,
you know.
And you're going to have that opportunity tonight. Yeah. They have the earlier kickoff on Monday Night Football. I believe, is ESPN. There's is ABC and ESPN. Oh, okay, so they're doing the ESPN Plus exclusive with the Chargers-Ravens game. I did forget about that one. So unless you specifically have ESPN Plus, don't even worry about that. Which does speak to something that is interesting. That is yet another step towards having NFL football games away from public TV consumption. Mm-hmm. And I guess you've already had like cable TV, but this is another step of paywall
that
the NFL is moving further and further towards.
Stuff,
which I don't really like. I think the NFL, I always think of that Mark Cuban quote of pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. The NFL has constantly made moves that have made me think, oh, is this where they get slaughtered? And they've just
you question everyone, and then they make a gajillion.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But this feels like the one where I go, man, we're getting further and further away where now you're asking your fans to have a million apps of subscriptions.
Hey, we've said that before.
And at some point, that's not going, like, people aren't going to have the money to throw around just to watch NFL football. But hey, man, we'll see if people tune into ESPN Plus to catch Chargers Cardinals, especially when Ravens Buccaneers is on not just cable, but also free TV, ABC at 7:15 Central Time. So that's around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get back to the Texans. And
don't say it.
Who hooped? Question mark. If anyone, right? Okay, let's not even say it that way. Who do you want to give some level of acknowledgement for some good play?
Who hooped?
I guess we'll talk about who hooped.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Love takes the snap, fires, and it's picked off. Hewitt to his left, 40, 30, 20, cutting inside the 20 of Green Bay, and Neville's got the ball inside the 15-yard line on the pick.
The first of three turnovers that was made in the course of this game. Unfortunately, you lose 24-22 versus the Packers. But within that, I think there was still a lot of good play. This was not quite as abject a failure like a loss. Like compared to the Vikings game where you got
whooped. Yeah.
But now, I mean, you've had two losses, right? Mm-hmm. I said abject failure. Wait, do you think that there was failures in the course of some of these wins?
No, there's a couple play. Here's how I would put it when we talk about who hooped. I think we're grading on a curve.
Certainly.
Like, you know, when you had to take that organic chemistry final in college.
Never did that.
That kind of curve. Where like a 45 is an 80. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. I view this more, and it might just be a whole grip of honorable mentions. Maybe we don't actually have a specific Hooper necessarily this week. But no, I think there's some people to give some praise to.
And absolutely. Even,
it's the reverse of the Jeff Van Gundy quote, because I think there is opportunities to praise in defeat, which you would appreciate in victory.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I do want to make sure that we highlight the people that played well. And maybe just maybe the man up top there, Neville Hewitt, needs a little bit of appreciation. And I will raise my hand, because I had that thought in that moment, but a little bit further in the game, where I was like, okay, I at least need to get on here and apologize to Neville Hewitt. So I will speak directly to camera. And Neville, if you are listening, my bad, dog. I was out here talking about you like you could not cover. And of course, in certain circumstances, right, like it's not like they had you necessarily manned up having to run with folks. Mm-hmm. But they got him in zone, and he ranged decently. Like, he handled his own. And similarly, Jake Hansen, like, they made some plays in addition to that, right? And we knew that they had capability of, you know, being run stoppers and being that type of guys. And they had some misses, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I did not – we talked a lot about how, you know, coverage was not really in his wheelhouse and those types of things. And he handled himself pretty damn well against a team that we knew was going to be capable of trying to attack that portion of the field. So, Neville Hewitt, my bad, dog. I think you handled your business.
Chest. It's on me.
I think for the most part, you handled your business. Being backups, knowing that you were coming in, mostly special team players typically. You came in, you handled up on a unit that did pretty damn well against the
Packers. If you ask me yes or no, the answer is yes, he hooped. There were some issues, and I talked about them earlier in terms of giving up, you know, damn near 6.5 yards per rush to Josh Jacobs. But yes, if you said it. To me, there were two guys that were absolute win, loss, whatever. You got to say they hooped. And that is Tim Settle and Joe Mixon.
Tim Settle, that dude. Man, Tim Settle just
A hell of a game.
There was a moment where I was like, damn, I was doing all this worrying about where's Nico Autry. Tim Settle right here. Tim Settle said, what are y'all talking about Mario Edwards being suspended for? I'm right here.
Yeah.
Why are y'all worried? I got it. And it feels like, that is the dude who operates in some way as starting defensive tackle next to Fatu Kasi. And, of course, it's going to be a rotation. All these dudes are going to factor in. But, like, in my mind, I still view things in depth charts. Maybe that's just the way that it works. Tim Settle feels like he's up there because he consistently shows up. And it's not just this week. It's been weeks prior as well where Tim Settle Jr. has been showing up. So, shout out to Settle. He absolutely deserves it.
Absolutely. To me, he was probably one of the best players on the field. Another one was Joe Mixon. You know, we talked about it at the start of the show when we're talking about, you know, we have our answer on the offensive line, and it is bad. Joe Mixon, the other part of the answer is Joe Mixon makes the run game look good. It's Joe Mixon. Like, it's him. Damian Pierce didn't do very much. Nobody did very much. But when Joe Mixon was carrying the ball, he was hooping. I mean, he is just the guy.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You got into the red zone in a game where you were not throwing the football well, and knowing the way that this team has had issues running the football, obviously outside of when Joe Mixon has played, and I was like, ooh, man, they should be able to lean on the run. And Joe Mixon was just like, no. We got it. Like, at one point, I turned to Sean and Clint and guys that were watching the game up here because I enjoy coming up here and watching it. And I'm like, okay, so it's just the Joe Mixon zone, not the red zone.
Exactly.
Like, they were just like, give the ball to Joe Mixon. We all know what's going to happen. You all know what's going to happen. And yet and still, you can't stop him because he is that guy. And they had some instances where they blocked it up well. I don't want to make it seem like the offensive line was bad the entire way.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, obviously, by and large, if you grade the scale, it was not a passing grade, I say.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they had those moments, and Joe Mixon takes a good block play and makes it a great play, and he takes a probably not great block play and makes it into something.
Yeah,
right.
No, he and Tim Settle, like, they are the valedictorian and salutatorian, you know, in terms of like who hooped. There are some others where and that's why I said you got to kind of grade on a curve. I thought Jalen Petrie was pretty good.
Jalen Petrie is an opportunity for him to be physical. Yeah. We know that he is a dude that enjoys physicality. He embraces that. It's one of the reasons why I think he has a good place within the imagination of this head coach and the defensive coordinator. Yeah. Those guys like and encourage physicality, and he brings that in spades. I think also one of the things is we talk about him in coverage, and I think we have to be very exact with what we're talking about. When he gets to play in zone, and when he gets the kind of play where he's looking back towards the quarterback, he's pretty damn good. That is what facilitated the interception, was him being able to, in some ways, kind of bait Jordan Love and then break on the football and then tip the football. And then Neville Hewitt makes a solid
grab.
And
some pressures, too.
On it. And he blitzes as well. But that's the physicality coming back into play here. And obviously the speed off the edge. But now when he is forced to cover more in man, more press, then he gets into some issues, right, with that back pedal and all those things. But when he's allowed to kind of play downhill as he is, whether it's going in there and attacking the quarterback and pass rushing, or whether it's going in there and stopping the run, or even breaking down on a football in zone, he can play pretty well in that circumstance. So I did want to give him that love there.
And I don't know if you have any others, but a couple of others that popped into my mind, and this is truly, okay, well, it's not exactly something that's going to say, oh, okay, absolute game changer. But Tommy Townsend made a very, very big play at the end of the game. That's on me. That was a potential game winner despite it all. You know, despite it all, you could have won because of what he was able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He gave you some good field position situations in a game where you really needed it.
You needed it.
In fact, can I just go as far as like pulling back to Frank Ross?
Yeah, because the special teams in general.
Dude, that kickoff situation, I was so confused when you get the 15 yards on the kickoff. And I don't think I ever realized that the kick out of bounds was a penalty assessed based off of the kickoff place. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just a spot, as just like the touchback.
Yeah.
They determined that it went to the 40. No, it's 25 yards from the place where you kicked.
Yeah.
And so I think Kaylin Kaler wrote a great piece where she talked to, I believe, was it Dare Ogunbowale about this, and he was detailing how they knew that worst case scenario, if it goes out of bounds, it's going to the 25.
Yeah.
And then if you're able to kind of kick it in bounds or like have it stop in the end zone, it'll go to the 20, right? Mm-hmm. Without rolling out, you can get to the 20. So like I think he knew uniquely how to game the system in that way. He knew exactly what he needed, and they got great field position. You talked about the punting, but also in that situation, I got to give
He had a good day all around
to the special teams coordinator.
Yeah, Will Anderson, how are we feeling about that?
I thought he was good.
He was good. A couple of problems maybe in the run game, but everybody did.
Sure.
You know, on the interior. But I thought Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, for that matter.
Absolutely. Like, they continue to apply pressure. They continue to get to the quarterback, and Two of your turnovers there, because the other one was the punt. The two interceptions were in large part what we talked about with Jordan Love. The weakness that he has there is he's a little bit of a gunslinger. Yes, he can throw some incredible footballs. We saw him throw that touchdown to Tucker Kraft on a frozen rope. Just, he got that thing in there, right?
Inches away. I think it was Danielle Hunter, right? And almost to
No, that was Kalen Bullock.
That almost tipped it?
That almost came back and got it from the safety position. But you also saw when he was pressured, he chucked that thing up there. And the guys that we're talking about with pressure were absolutely Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr., both of those guys adding a sack to their totals as well in this game. But they got in that dude's face. They made it tough on him. And then he sailed a couple of footballs that you were then able to capitalize on. And so they definitely deserve credit. And also deserving credit is your man, Kalen Bullock, because, oh, my God, he gets up.
Yeah.
Like I did. I was so impressed by his capability ranging in the defensive backfield. And, again, it comes to something that you've talked about that is kind of nebulous and you can't really put your finger on. But he just seems to attract the football.
Yeah.
And so that is something that I don't have to understand. I will go ahead and just agree.
It just happens.
I don't have to understand exactly how it happens. I just salute the fact that the ball does come to him in some of those ways.
Anybody else for you? Because now we're getting into some like real reaches here. But
yeah, you want to do some honorable mentions real quick? Some guys.
John Weeks.
Okay, that wasn't even.
when you lose a game like this,
hey,
you play that
every
bad.
Week.
It's every week.
Every
just
week.
Pencil it in. It ain't gonna be a bad snap. Whether it's extra points or kickoff or field goals or punts, it's gonna be right on the money. How about John Weeks with a hoop?
Some honorable mention, Damian Pierce, and not even just as a running back, like a return.
No, the return game was nice.
Return was nice.
45?
I think so. I'll have
but
to
it was
back
up
and
there.
It was, he definitely had a nice return. Plus, I think one of the things that was nice for me, I think Seth has asked this question a little bit during the season, is does he still have that ability to break tackles? Because that's one of the things that you could point to that makes him special. With any player, there's kind of the general stuff and then the things that make them special. And Dameon Pierce's physicality and ability to break tackles is one of those. Mm-hmm. It seemed like he lost a little bit of that. It was tough to bring him down in this game.
42 yards. That's nice.
That was one of the things that I noticed watching it, man. Like, they tried to get him around the ankle on one of those runs where he kind of broke it. He fell forward. He wasn't able to keep running at that point. But just the fact that he is making it tough on teams to bring him down, I think is something that needs to be I appreciate. And hopefully that can be something that can be utilized more as you go along during the season.
Yeah.
Let me see some other. Somebody said, can we talk about old boy who thinks he's a WWE wrestler? We did mention Neville Hewitt and the fact that, you can't.
He's
got to
pull another move out.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. Stop. Like, no. We're not doing a bit here.
You got clotheslines.
No, we're not doing bits here, man.
He might get ejected if he clotheslines somebody.
You think?
We're not doing wrestling bits here. Keep tackling. But
hey,
no.
He got a future after the NFL.
We're just not.
Well, he's got a resume, that's for sure.
Yeah, just go to the WWE.
Yeah.
Also, if you can give somebody an honorable mention for one play, Xavier Hutchinson catching that football across.
It was a big one.
It was nice to have somebody on like one of those third down situations come up for this team. All right. That's our best assessment of who hooped in the course.
We tried the best we could.
This game. Yeah, there was a lot of kind of all right play. It really stinks that you could not put C.J. Stroud in here as well. Like, even the course of understanding that he was under pressure, he had some poor throws in this that was really frustrating to see. But I don't know how much I was directing the frustration at him, but it was frustrating regardless. You're listening to In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including a tough Sunday for New York sports, which I appreciated. And also, it's rookie extension day for the Rockets. We'll talk about all of that and more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. And if you'll allow me to be just a little bit self-indulgent, What's Poppin' is that tomorrow we'll be out at Texas Star Grill Shop right there off of 59, 69, depending on what you
throw
say.
Throw a rock from here.
Southwest Freeway. Yeah. Any other ways to describe
Shepherd and 59.
That is also another way that you could describe it. Yeah. But we'd be out there broadcasting 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Come see us. There'll be food out there.
Nico's. A little Greek food.
And get yourself you can pick up some OG sauce. That's where the OG picks up OG sauce.
You didn't? Well, yeah, I'll say that, I guess.
I've heard you say that you do that.
I shop there all the time.
Yeah.
But I got a stash.
Okay.
I got a stash.
Whatever, man.
Is it weird buying your own bottle, though?
Yes.
Like, would you go in there and just...
It's weird seeing your face in a store.
Okay, I was about to say, just in general, you'd be waking up and looking in the mirror. Like,
oh my gosh, that's me, isn't it? Ugh. That's me. No, it's going to be fun. And we'll be broadcast. We're right smack in the middle of the store, too, if they put
us
in the same place. Yeah, it's cool.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, come out and say what's up to the fellas. Get you some OG sauce. I like making wings and putting OG sauce. Anyways, that's besides the point. Some things that happened over the course of this weekend. I kind of want to start with this. I don't know if I should, but hey, man, Texas, what happened, buddy? University of Georgia, Bulldogs beat Texas, knocking off the number one team and moving them down to 5.
Talk about poking AP. The bear. Like, teams are always looking for an imaginary chip on their shoulder. They definitely went in there underdogs to begin with. They got a chip on their shoulder, and then the whole panel on game day picks Texas.
That's always a bad look.
They cart Corso out there, and I don't mean that in a bad way, because
I don't know.
Man.
You can't use the word cart and say it.
But they kind of did.
Use a nicer word there, Lopez.
They drag him out there.
Not the right direction, but okay.
Who is it, Jimmy Carter?
Yeah, okay.
Close the man's mouth.
Stop! So yeah, Texas falls to Georgia 30-15, and kind of surprising. Quinn Ewers gets benched in the course of this.
That's the thing that you've got to really sort of keep an eye on.
I think that he was playing so poorly in that moment that Arch Manning comes in. But even then, like, I think what was happening in that game was that you needed a quarterback that was able to manage pressure that was coming through,
right,
and a defense really having their way with things. And Arch Manning, I think, is lesser in that way. He did bring a mobility that was necessary, and that helped him get like a face mask in the course of this, and knowing that he could kind of get out you know, escape and obviously mm-hmm. throw a little bit on the run, which Quinn Ewers struggles a little bit with. But when it came to like managing the game, I still think Ewers is better at that as he's further along in his development. And ultimately, I think you saw that as Quinn Ewers returned in the second half of that game
and played fine. Certainly, you know, got them somewhat into the game. But then, you know, like the fans were throwing hundreds of bottles and things on
a
the
terrible,
field.
Terrible defensive pass interference call is called against Texas. And everybody's mad to the point where the student section begins throwing stuff on the field. Steve Sarkisian walks out onto the field and kind of has to caution everybody from continuing to do that. That honestly gives it stops the game because people have to clear the side, clear the field, and obviously a little of appreciation to the folks on the sideline. Everybody got together and
a lot of people went and did that.
That gave apparently the refs enough time to think about their decision and change the call, pick up the flag. And I was like, oh, we're setting an awful precedent, aren't we?
Horrible. And that's what they talked about after the game. And they're not wrong.
Yeah,
because we were just talking about how football fans are just kind of, you know, when you're in that sort of,
especially college students,
you know, gang mentality, so to speak, and I don't mean that, you know, literally
mob mentality,
or whatever, and you're
to get away from the negative connotation that you're setting up.
And you're at a stadium, and somebody throws a bottle, and then all of a sudden, hundreds of people throw a bottle or whatever on the field, and then the call is changed. Like Kirby Smart was not wrong. Like, that was a horrible precedent to set because you gave them time. And now what's going to happen, you know, at wherever, you know, pick a school.
Well, I think what's going to happen is that you get an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on the home team. Mm-hmm. Like, it just feels like one of those things that you cannot abide more than once, right? That happens once, you can call it a mistake. It happens a second time and you have allowed some space in this, and they're going to have to come down hard on this, making it apparent, like, no, you're not, this is not going to happen. And SEC did a little bit to try and help that along. They fined Texas $250,000 for that, and made sure let it be known that they do not condone unruly fans of that nature.
So. And the $250,000, that's somewhat of a drop in the bucket, but I like what Texas is doing. They've already started to send out notes to fans. They're reviewing the video and just taking away their tickets for all Texas sporting events for the year. I saw a couple. Now, I don't know how the accuracy of it, but it looked like it was something real. Like, students are getting messages. You have been identified as having thrown something on the field. Your pass has been revoked. So I do like that. They're
taking it seriously.
Yeah, taking
sure
it seriously
that
enough.
That will not be tolerated. Good for them to make sure that that happens. All right, some other things that are popping. A terrible Sunday for New York sports teams. Don't talk about Saturday. Or what was it? Friday, actually.
Yeah. Yankees had a decent day.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about that. But Mets lose to the Dodgers 10-5. Unfortunately, that sets up, I think, a lot of people's hated World Series matchup, Yankees-Dodgers. But Mets lose on Sunday, as do the Jets lose on Sunday. And you got to imagine that the city of New York had some struggles. They did get a victory in the course of this, though. Which was WNBA. They win the WNBA Finals Game 5.
I thought you were going to not mention that. I was going to give you a hard time.
Where the Minnesota Lynx fall to the Liberty in Game 5, and that had its own controversy, as well as LeBron James, Damian Lillard, Isaiah Thomas, and a lot of other people in the sports world, particularly the basketball circles, chimed in on how the WNBA referees really, really messed up in calling a foul with just seconds left in regulation against the Lynx that put Breonna Stewart on the free throw line, allowed her to redeem a couple of missed free throws from earlier in that game, send it to overtime, where ultimately the New York Liberty win their first WNBA title ever, even though they had previously been the team that had made the most finals without winning. And that it's tough. The reason why I find it to be kind of sad is every sport has the thing where they hate their officials. I think it sucks for the WNBA to have this kind of crescendo of more attention than they ever had, and their big game that's supposed to kind of be a celebration ends up being looked at as nasty business by your official.
I'm with you 100%. I'm the king of just spell the name right. You know, any publicity is good publicity. And on the surface, a lot of people are talking about the WNBA today and the finals and all that. But this is really bad for sort of an upstart, and it's not upstart, but in terms of popularity, sort of an upstart league to have this, a championship. Like, a championship was determined by a horrible call. So, for the most part, just spell the name right, and they are getting some run, but that was awful.
Fun game to watch, though,
yeah,
in the course of that, if anybody was on Sunday. But going backwards, we have a World Series set. It is Yankees-Dodgers. The 12th Yankees-Dodgers World Series will be set up here, and it is now tied for Lakers-Celtics for the most common championship matchup in major American men's sports. How do you feel about this?
Lopez, going your team, man.
Hey, Ohtani, man. How about him? He was
Let's go, Dodgers.
Get out of here. He was practically teary-eyed. He does deserve. Are y'all with me a little bit on this now? You got to be. It's a cool story for Ohtani.
Sure.
That doesn't.
Man, he don't deserve nothing. He's good, man.
He's very good at baseball. Yeah.
You want the greatest players to have a chance to win a championship.
I mean, sure. I don't know what you're expecting out of me. Yes, I would like to see the best players in these situations. I already admitted that I think that this is ultimately giving us the best baseball of this matchup. Yeah. Dodgers put up 10 runs in that final game to get them through. I talk less of the fact that you mentioned that you thought the Cleveland Guardians were about to get it done, and they lost immediately.
They did.
They
did.
Good job there.
They got it, made it interesting a little bit, and then fell on their faces. And here's another part, sort of a mini confession. As much as I'm with you in the grand scheme, I didn't want to see the Dodgers versus the Yankees. I'm happy for Ohtani, and I'm going to watch because of that. As much as I didn't want to see the Dodgers and the Yankees, all these people that are saying, oh, I hope both teams lose, I'm not going to watch, liars. You're going to watch. People are going to watch Dodgers.
This is going to be a good World Series,
yes,
man.
You're like, lying.
Outside of the personal hate for the teams,
yes,
this is what a lot of media people wanted, man.
And not number just one outside versus of number Houston. One.
Big markets, big teams, big bats.
LA,
Houston.
Yeah. I mean, LA and New York.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you almost kind of Freudian slipped there mentioning Houston.
I know. I'm so used
to it. On the text line 3. Yeah. It used to be all the time, man.
Yeah.
It was all good just a week ago, man. 346, or the 346 mention, we might hear an F the Astros chant breakout. And now that you say it, we really might, which really upset me because, why are you worried about us right
Rent
now?
Free.
No, exactly.
Why are you worried about Houston right now?
Mm-hmm.
But it's possible. When it comes to favorites in this, when Dodgers have are the favorite here, and when it comes to exact results, what do you think is the most, with the highest odds for the actual result of a 7-game series, Dodgers Yankees?
In terms of who wins?
Yeah, who wins and by what game total?
Oh, it's going to go 6 or 7.
That is those are the best odds.
Yeah.
The significant or the actual favorite, Dodgers in 6 is the favorite. Then after that, Dodgers in 7, and then after that, Yankees in 7. So those are seems like. We are in for a long series, and that can be a good or a bad thing depending on how this goes. But hopefully, at the very, very least, for me personally, some fun baseball, because I'll be really upset if we got this matchup with no fun.
Yeah. No, look, you're going to watch. You can hate them, and that's cool. I'm right there with you in terms of the logos. But it's Dodgers-Yankees. You're going to watch this series.
Shout out 281 says they're not watching. Shout out to Gus and Katie, who says has not watched one MLB playoff game since the Astros got eliminated.
I know there's some outliers, but by and large, liars. Like
outside of us, outside of the inner city, man, people are going to be gushing.
Maybe. I mean, there's other stuff. The NBA season starts literally tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like, you might turn your attention there. This series doesn't start till Friday.
I actually understand people that don't want to watch this here.
Of course.
But everywhere else, people are gushing over this.
Nobody worried about them. 832 said, "Nah, I'm really not watching." Black Ops 6 comes out the day the World Series starts. That's a good point. Okay. Yeah, maybe you get your game on. Okay, very good. And I mentioned the NBA season starts tomorrow. Your Rockets will get going on Wednesday, but today is the last day.
Is it going to happen
to get in rookie extensions? I don't. Well, Jalen Green, I don't expect to happen. Yeah. Alper Şengün is the one that I'm watching out for, to see if that one comes down, or if we're just going to take this all the way to the end of this year and see what
restricted free agency happen for Şengün.
I would imagine so, and I think that was the one that we had more confidence. Reports were that they had kind of been talking, so that is something that I'll watch out for and hope. We'll see if we have any level of deals done by the time we're on air tomorrow. Also, just a reminder, it is early voting has started in the state of Texas.
Today.
So if you are so inclined, get yourself informed and then go cast your votes. Do your civic duty, as they like to call it.
Who you vote for? I'm just playing. You ain't got to answer that.
I appreciate you.
I thought he was.
I appreciate you giving me the leeway to not answer that question on air. because that would have definitely made some people mad at me. All right, this is In the Loop. I'm voting for us to do two more hours on this Monday.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm voting for on a Reaction Monday brought to you by Shoppers John Deere.
That's so good.
Coming up next, decisions. Do we now have reason to question D'Amico and this coaching staff's game management and decision making? Let's talk about that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.